They argue that it brutalized and militarized the Bolsheviks, shaping their later policies. Other historians point out that in some sense, with a rigorous logic, the Bolshevik movement continued to be true to the vanguard idea that Lenin had championed of working towards a future that, in ideological terms, had been laid down far earlier, which justified dictatorship and despotism when necessary. By late 1922, the Bolsheviks had worked to consolidate their power in most of the territories of the former Russian Empire, and they had done so except for the Polish territories, Finland, and the Baltic states. The areas under the control of the Bolsheviks, now far beyond simply the Russian homeland, became constituent republics and a new sort of state, the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, the USSR, also known as the Soviet Union, in December of 1922. And it would now be the task of the Bolshevik leadership to take up the challenge of Reconstruction. Potentially, this could be a mighty power base, a mighty state for the ideological regime. They controlled now, as it were, a sixth of the world's land area and potentially enormous resources as well as populations that could be put to their uses. But something more than a mere reconstruction was aimed at by the Bolsheviks, and it's important to keep this in mind. Their project also was the building of a future society of socialism unlike any that had come before. Lenin expected, certainly, that international aid might be possible and might be used for the ends of the Bolsheviks. He joked that the capitalists were so greedy that they'd be willing, in fact, to sell the Bolsheviks the very rope with which they eventually would be hanged when the future had arrived. Engineers in particular and technological experts from the Western world, including the United States, were urged, whether out of ideological conviction and sympathy in some cases, or whether out of simply the lure in participating in the building of something new, were urged to come to the Soviet Union and participate in this massive act of building communism. We need to examine the outlines of this emerging Soviet power. The regime's innovative new plans were propagated with a modern use of media. Posters of remarkably modern form, cinema with experimental forms used for the first time, as well as other forms of art now were put to the uses of the Bolshevik ideology. Lenin and his associates were very clear on the importance that cinema and film would have. Lenin considered film in particular to be the political art form of the 20th century, and he'd be very right in this sense. Film could communicate with emotional power, even to populations that were not fully literate, ideological messages of enormous power. And they would seek to harness these media. They showed their love of trains, which we'd already seen in the case of Trotsky's championing of armored trains, but now put to a new use in the so-called agitprop trains. This was one of those bureaucratic acronyms. Agitation and propaganda were smushed together as two separate words into a new art form. Agitprop represented a new form of political propaganda that was to be sent out into the country on trains, which had installed within them film theaters sent out into the countryside to spread the innovative new cultural and artistic message. One can well imagine that avant-garde artists enthusiastically participated in these campaigns, creating those films and those posters in a bright initial period of experimentation in which it felt that a new civilization was being created. In line with this emphasis on novelty and modernity and technology, one needs to keep in mind that electrification was a key symbolic goal of the Soviet Union. Lenin announced in what really amounted to a formula for the future that communism equals electrification plus the power of the Soviets. Electrification, the spreading of light and enlightenment in line with the communist ideology, seemed to be the wave of the future. Careful planning and direction would be needed in the construction of such a new society, and especially in economics, this was clear. In February of 1921, a new institution which symbolized this determination to plan was established. It was called, in that particular predilection for acronyms, GOSPLAN, which stood for the State Planning Commission, which established scientific goals for a supposedly scientifically planned and coordinated economy, planned down to the smallest details.